Well, hello. It's good to see everybody out tonight. As we live our lives here, we are constantly facing situations that require us to think, to make decisions, and then act upon those decisions. And making maybe this process even more difficult for us is the fact that we live in a very polarized world. It's not just sports teams anymore. We've all, or maybe we don't all have, but there are at least two distinct teams that we watch every night on at least the 5:30 o'clock news. You're either way over here or you're way over here. And if everything doesn't fit in whatever box you want it to, it's a fight, right? We have to fight. And that in itself brings on that fight or flight response. That fight or flight response is known as an acute stress response, and it refers to a physiological reaction that occurs in the presence of something that is terrifying, either mentally or physically. And the response is triggered by a release of hormones that prepare your body to either stay and fight or to run as fast as you can to get to safety. When confronted with a survival emergency, people default to one of those two responses. Either they run away, or again, they stand their ground and they fight. And this is a great survival instinct. Unfortunately, many of us carry that fight or flight response to a lot of complicated problems that we encounter. When we face stressful problems, again, many of us tend toward either fight or flight mentality. So when things get tough, that's what we revert to. And so therefore, that can sometimes lead us to some bad choices. When we feel trapped or hopeless, caught between a rock and a hard place, if the choices are a little bit more different, then you're unable to see what is right and what is wrong. But if we are able to take a step back and look, I think that God encourages us to look for some hidden let me get back on track here a little bit. I'm going to find it, don't worry. We have some hidden solutions, some hidden options to some complex problems. And so tonight, and hopefully the next Sunday night, maybe I'll have words better prepared, we're going to look at some of God's creative solutions to some of our harder problems. And so to start the conversation, we're going to look in John chapter 8 tonight. And we're going to see where Jesus is in somewhat of an impossible situation, or at least that's how the Pharisees wanted it to be. Jesus is reported to be at the temple, and people had noticed him, and they had began to he had began to teach to them. When all of a sudden the scribes and the Pharisees appear, and before Jesus, they are bringing along with them a woman who is caught in adultery. And again, John chapter 8, and we'll begin there in verse 2. It says, early in the morning he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in his midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now, in the law of Moses, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" And it says that they did this to test him, that they might have some charges to bring against him. And Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. We find here Christ spending time with the people. He's not looking for any unnecessary drama or trouble, but it comes still. As Jesus is teaching, the scribes and the Pharisees are up to no good. And here they bring a woman that's been caught in the very act of adultery. And that phrase, that caught in the act, here means it's an undeniable act. And I have to wonder who caught her and how. Anyway, these are religious leaders, and we know that they are disingenuous with their anger. Verse 6 tells us that these men were here to trap Jesus more than they were concerned about this woman or her sin. These leaders thought that they could trap Jesus because their way of thinking was linear. They thought that there was only two possible answers that Jesus could offer. And really, both of those solutions wasn't going to come out well for Jesus. The first option was for Jesus to suggest that they execute this woman by stoning her. It is what many people believed God's law demanded. Unfortunately, that made Jesus the executioner. That sentence would seem to contradict Jesus' recent teachings on love and forgiveness. And so this implied the second option was for Jesus to say that she shouldn't experience the consequences of her sin. And that would put Jesus in opposition to the law of God. Neither option was good. The religious leaders thought that they had him. You either take choice A, and then Jesus has just undermined his own teaching. Or you take choice B, and you disrespect the law of Moses. The accusers here are not seeking to debate the woman's guilt or innocence. And no one is questioning her guilt. What they are doing is trying to attempt to thrust Jesus into the role of a sentencing judge. Everything that we see on a computer and everything that we do on a smartphone really comes down to just two numbers. It's a binary system. And these two numbers is how computers think. And by processing just a series of ones and zeros, it knows where your mouse is. It knows what text should be on your screen. It knows what colors to show. Here they want to remind Jesus of the ancient and powerful legal code that Moses commanded to stone such women. Presumably, they're talking about Leviticus 20:10. And Leviticus 20:10 says, if a man commits adultery with his wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress shall be surely put to death. This text, however, does not prescribe that method of execution. Their demand for stoning betrays their bloodlust, for stoning was a little more than just a mob lynching during this period of Roman occupation. The Roman rulers did not permit the Jews the legal authority for execution. And we see this later in John 18:31 during the trials of Jesus. Pilate tells the Jewish leaders, take him for yourselves and judge him by your own law. And the Jews said to him, it is not lawful for us to put anyone to death. Stoning here at this time was community justice at its worst, with way too many executioners for the Romans really to take an effective action against the perpetrators. And really, to the Romans, what was one less Jewish person alive? They didn't have much skin in the game. And so you imagine being in the position that you feel trapped. You are in what looks like an impossible situation, and it doesn't look good for either option, choice A or choice B. What do you do? Well, when we are confronted with complicated problems, it's easy to fall into that trap of thinking there are only two bad options available to us. The most obvious possibilities, the same creative and hidden options that were available to Christ are still available to us today. But we have to believe that they exist, and we have to take our time to look for them. So what will Jesus do? How will he get out of this tough situation? Verse 7 of John chapter 8 says, and they continued to ask him. He stood up and said to them, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But once they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone and with the woman standing before him. You know, some hidden choices or hidden options can only be found through God. Until Jesus came along, we had only two options available to us. Either follow the law, the Ten Commandments, as well as all of the rules of the Old Testament perfectly at every moment of our life so that we could live, or disobey the law and be separated from God for an eternity. In reality, the first option really is one that a lot of people on some level still try today and fail miserably. It is impossible. So really what we're left with as Christians is option two. Jesus then comes along and he is offered a hidden option here for us. It is revealed since Genesis, but humanity, for the most part, missed the revelation through his death and resurrection on the cross. No longer did we have to live perfectly and obey the law perfectly. It was impossible to do anyway. And no longer did we have to die being separated from God. Jesus came and fulfilled the law for us. His righteousness now applies to the lives of all Christians. The religious leaders thought that they had Jesus backed into a corner. And I mean, if I was in his position, I don't know what I would have done. Especially if we didn't know how Jesus himself handled it. Would you say, well, she broke the law. She deserves to be stoned. Or would you say everyone makes mistakes and then therefore disrespect the law? I love the drama here in John chapter 8 when Jesus stooped down and just wrote in the dirt. I think we'd all like to know what he was writing. Jesus offers up, though, an ingenuous way to deal with the leader. He gave a perfect answer. The one without sin among you should be the first to throw a stone at her. And I don't think that they ever dreamed that was the answer he'd give. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones first. And the Bible says that Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. How many situations have we faced or you faced where it looked like no matter what option you chose, it wasn't going to turn out well? I think when we get to that point, we tend to hunker down and rely on our own ingenious ways to try and work out a problem. Or we run, or we fight. It's rough when you feel that you are caught between a rock and a hard place. The movie The Martian, also the book, I recommend both, but finds a man stranded on the surface of Mars. And it really is a brilliant story about problem solving. Mark Watney is the main character, and he's constantly faced with life and death situations that require science and creative problem solving techniques to survive. And through through himself, he is able to survive by beginning to grow 4 years' worth of potatoes inside his habitat, using some chemistry to extract water from rocket fuel and harnessing a plutonium battery to provide heat in the deadly cold of Mars. Now, I don't recommend any of these techniques, but it worked for him. Ultimately, though, he finds his efforts could take him only so far. It still required outside help if he was going to get off the surface of Mars. And that's the same truth of our lives. We can only get so far on our own. We can't save ourselves, and so God intervened to offer us redemption. And that is the first and most important of God's provisions for us. But he also provides options for us when we need them. We just have to learn to look at him for direction. When we look to God in life, we're able to see those hidden solutions. Let's look here at verse 10 and 11 for a final thought of John chapter 8. Jesus stood up to her, and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. And from now on, sin no more." Finding that hidden solution offers hope for all. When Jesus escaped the trap of the woman caught in adultery, he provided more than just for hope for himself. He also provided hope for this woman, who really was subject to the penalty of death. She was completely trapped and had no way of helping herself. If Jesus hadn't escaped the trap that was set for him, this woman would have surely died. When we are able to seek the hidden solution that God offers us in our lives, those solutions will not only bless us, but will also be a blessing to those around us. So for the person who is struggling with sin, for which they feel helpless to, they feel defeated by, taking that hidden action or hidden solution of hope through Jesus really will not only bless you, but again, those around you, your family and your friends. I think when I look back on my own years, I'm thankful that I opened up myself to see that there was more to life than just what I thought was offered by the world, by being open to things like prayer and to living for Christ instead of myself. I think all of us who are Christians can say that our lives have never been the same. When God gives us hidden options, it's not always just for us. Sometimes God does help us out of some sticky situations by giving us his creativity. But he also wants us as Christians to impact others. Our opportunity as disciples of Jesus is to help others find God's justice and God's grace in their own lives. Ultimately, the most significant solution that we can give people is bringing them to God, bringing them to a God who loves them and wants the best for them through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we must lead them to the source of that option of grace, mercy, and reconciliation. The same creativity that was available to Jesus in this story is available to us as well. We don't have to feel trapped by our circumstances that other people place us in. We don't have to feel hopeless. When we start to look to God for solutions in our lives, we see that hope rise again. Not only that, but the people around us will also experience hope. And these options just aren't for ourselves. Really, they're for others as we shine the light of hope into situations that reaches other people. We can be sources of encouragement to those around us. Even when things seem hopeless, we can help others and attempt to lead them to God, the ultimate source of hidden options. And so this week, if things ever seem impossible, try to paint the problem in the colors of grace and justice instead of black and white despair. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, we, as always, encourage you to make that choice. If you are a Christian and need the prayers of the congregation, now would be an opportune time to come as together we stand and we sing.